Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you believe it's December already? December 1st. What happened to November? What happened to October? What happened to September or the rest of 2024 for that matter? The year has just flown by. And for once, the church calendar and the commercial Advent calendars, you know, that are loaded up with candy and Legos or toys, they line up. And you can look at what's behind door number one on your Advent calendar on the first day of Advent. How about that? No doubt, like Mr. Justin was talking about, some of your kids or your grandkids or your great-grands have already started on their Christmas lists. I hear a little bit of uh-ohs. I remember the saga of making a Christmas list from when I was little. It was like you were writing the world's most epic novel with the amount of attention you put into it and the research and all the writing and the editing and revising and all that. I remember when I was probably about fourth or fifth grade, there was this computer catalog back in the early 80s that I would spend ages poring over. I know it's a surprise, me looking at a computer catalog. And I spent so much time debating what cartridges I wanted. I remember lusting after the speech module that went with this TI-99-4A computer. And I remember the potential in the peripheral expansion box. Pricey, but you know, $500 from my parents would have been perfect for me. But those presents were way too expensive for me to even think about putting on my Christmas list. Now, a few years before that, when I was in second grade, I asked for this game called High Q. And from what I remember, and this was 40-some years ago, it had something to do with dice and there was a cup. It wasn't Yahtzee, but similar-ish. And I wanted that game for myself, just like the one we had in the classroom. I remember it was so fun to play. I could actually win at it, so of course it was even funner. And I remember even asking for that in my letter to Santa that went in the special section of my hometown paper. So it was on public record that my parents had to get it because I wanted that game. Well, they did get me a game called High Q. But I was disappointed because it was that High Q, that peg solitaire game, you know, where you're jumping over a peg into an empty spot and taking one out. I didn't want that one. I wanted the one I did. But in the end, it was okay because, you know, I got that game plus I got the little professor calculator that I really wanted. So I was a math geek in second grade. Now, remember those computer cartridges? I lived for that whole November to December in the suspense of wondering if one of those many packages under the tree that was shaped and wrapped and felt exactly the same, if one of those packages had that Jawbreaker 2 game that I really wanted, you know, number one on the list, mostly because, you know, with the beige case, it matched the computer. I waited in hope until Christmas morning when one of those packages under the tree did, in fact, contain Jawbreaker 2. And I even got a pair of official Texas Instruments joysticks to go with it. I was in fourth grade nerd heaven with this present. The waiting and hoping had paid off. Today, as we begin to barrel headlong into the season of Advent, with the birth of our Lord just 3.5 weeks away, we hear not from Jeremiah 33, as our friends with the Revised Common Lectionary are hearing today. You know, the days are surely coming, says the Lord. Instead, on the 13th Sunday in year 3 of the narrative lectionary, we read from the oh-so-obvious choice to kick off the Advent season. We read from Daniel. Yes, that Daniel, of Daniel in the Lion's Den fame, the same one we heard about in August. What a cheery way to start December, with conspiracy, backstabbing, cabinet appointments, entrapment, attempted murder, failed background checks, ironclad laws, and, spoiler alert, reaping what one sows. Oofda. Anyways, on that cheery note, in Daniel chapter 6, we find ourselves enmeshed in a court tale of conflict. King Darius had called to duty 120 satraps, or regional governors, of which Daniel was one. And he was also one of the three presidents that oversaw the satraps. Well, Daniel had quickly distinguished himself above all the other politicians, and that kind of ticked off those officials, who swiftly concocted a plan to get rid of Daniel. Now, they couldn't find any objectionable behavior in Daniel's background check, so they decided to play dirty and use Daniel's faith in his God against him. The politicians wrote a law which stated that for the next 30 days, anyone who prayed to anyone or anything except King Darius would be cast into a den of lions. You can just picture them, you know, cooperating behind the scenes. King Darius, we all agreed on this, as they stood before him with their fingers crossed behind their backs, all 122 of them. King Darius succumbed to the pressure and signed this interdict into law. But wouldn't you know it, before the ink on it was dry, the conspirators caught Daniel red-handed, kneeling in prayer as he did three times a day, praying to the God of Israel. Now the conspirators apprehended Daniel and took him before King Darius. King, look who we caught praying to, well, not you. What do you say he deserves? Immunity or punishment? Stuck between a rock and a den of lions, Darius made the only decision he legally could. Daniel was cast into the lion's den. Darius took a moment to speak to and pray for and bless Daniel, saying, "May your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you." The sarcasm in that was probably minimal to non-existent, as we hear that Darius spent a sleepless, hungry night in his palace after the lion's den was closed off with a rock and sealed with the signets of Darius and his lords. After that fitful night, Darius ran to the den of lions, hoping against hope that maybe, just maybe, Daniel had somehow survived. "Daniel, are you in there?" he cries. "Are you all right?" For a moment, Daniel was like Schrodinger's cat, both dead and alive. We just didn't know. But as time stood still, while Darius awaited some sort of response, you can just feel this both and Lutheran tension as Darius breaks the seals, rolls the stone away, and waits for a reply from Daniel. Finally, from among the sounds of peaceful, snoring, purring kittens, Daniel cries out, "Yep, I'm good." Now, listen, King, you're never going to believe this. My God sent this angel who closed the lion's mouths. Funniest thing I've ever seen. Looked like a pit full of furry Hannibal Lecters, whoever that guy is. Now, my God said I was innocent and blameless. And I'm telling you, King Darius, I have done nothing wrong. King Darius, relieved beyond his expectations, ordered Daniel to be taken up out of the pit. And true to Daniel's word, not a scratch could be found on him. Meanwhile, in the pit, the lions were getting restless and waking up, much like Fluffy, the three-headed dog in the first Harry Potter book and movie. The talking stops. There's silence. You can feel a pit full of ears perk up. And King Darius decides, turnabout is fair play. And Daniel's accusers, their wives, and their children were all cast into the den full of hungry, hungry lions. Then, like a herd of squirrely preschoolers about to be unleashed on a bucket of goldfish crackers, chomp, burp, slurp, and that den was licked clean. Meanwhile, back at the palace, King Darius's heart was changed. His life had been changed. He saw what Daniel's God had or hadn't done. And he made a decree that this time Daniel could agree with. Across my kingdom, he says, to all the world, we will all worship the living God of Daniel. He delivered Daniel and worked an unbelievable miracle. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. Where is God in all this? What's the good news we hear from this story? What in the world does Daniel have to do with Advent? In that lion's den, in that certain uncertainty, in that Schrodinger's pit, Daniel had hope in his God. In that uncertain night, when Daniel could have been spared the agony of death by a thousand lion chomps, when he could have been gifted a swift and painless instant death, Daniel was spared. His life sustained, delivered from the lion's den. But before that delivery, before King Darius's proclamation that Daniel's God was now the God of Darius's kingdom, the people waited. The other 122 politicians waited for Daniel to be out of their way. King Darius waited that long and fitful night to see what happened. Daniel waited, hoping that his God would deliver him. The tension was so thick, you needed a den of lions to cut through it. But finally, in a scene not entirely unlike the resurrection of Jesus, finally, delivery. The waiting was over. Daniel's hope in his God did not fail him. As we begin another liturgical year, we find ourselves in a familiar rhythm. Advent comes every year, but they're all a little bit different. But some things are a good anchor. Some things stay the same. We light candles on the Advent wreath. We hang up the blue pyramids. Special decorations are starting to appear. The tree and the chrismons are up. Pretty soon we'll see a creche out in the narthex. There's a new devotion book. Don't forget to pick yours up in the narthex after worship if you haven't already. Greenery is starting to sprout. And the tree, the giving tree, is starting to disappear. The ornaments are starting to disappear as people pick one and go shopping for a gift for someone. And you know what else we do in Advent? We wait. And wait. and wait some more. Some years, we liturgically wait longer than others as this consumer world tries to impose the Christmas season ever earlier. We even have to wait for the 12 days of Christmas, which officially begin on Christmas Day, no matter how hard those dealers of birds and fowl and whatnot, no matter how hard those agricultural workers or the musicians union try to convince us in that song. We wait. We wait in hope. And we hope that the God who delivered Daniel from the lion's den, that the God who delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale, that the God who delivered the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, we hope that God will deliver us. And God does. God delivers us through the birth and life and ministry and death and resurrection of a baby born in an alleyway behind an old hotel in Bethlehem. This baby is an unlikely gift, but it is just what the world needs, whether they know it or not. Schrodinger's gift brought to us in hope, a hope that does not disappoint us. Wait for the Lord, dear friends. Waiting is the hardest part, but it's worth it. Well worth it. Amen.